This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That is crushed high and deep into center field, way back at the track, at the wall, goodbye! Christian Campbell goes deep to straightaway center field. The Red Sox are teeing off in Monterey, and it is 5-0 Red Sox. Wow.
Wow, indeed, Christian Campbell.
Woo!
And the Red Sox kids continue to just rake.
Pretty amazing.
In Mexico. They have not announced their roster yet. They're going to do it tomorrow around noon.
I think the deadline is high noon, so they can really announce it any time, but they have to be official by noon tomorrow.
So we know Christian Campbell made the opening day roster. We think he's the second baseman. Are they still thinking about jamming Marcelo Meyer onto the team?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think to start the year just because, well, we got to double check, but is Story healthy? If Trevor Story's playing... And Bregman's playing. I think you want him to play every day. So I think he at least starts with the Woo Sox, which was what we need. Because on Friday, we're going to be at Polar Park.
Uh-huh.
So as much as I want Meyer to be playing mostly at the big league level, he's got to at least start at the Woo Sox. So we can take in the game.
Tristan Casas might complicate the whole thing with his injury, which we can get to coming up at 617-779-7937. We'll mix in some Red Sox thoughts with the season opener tomorrow here on WEEI.
Where's the time go?
Flying. Flying is where it's gone. We'll get to some Would You Rathers. Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30. Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. We also have both Elite Eight matchups at Jones and Keefe. Final Four starts tomorrow. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. See the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe. It's our March Madness uniform bracket. Meantime, let's knock out some more of these Steph Diggs phone calls, and then we'll get to the Sox. John, Rhode Island, waiting patiently. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I think that the Giants had originally... thought that Shedeur Sanders was going to be there at 3 when they signed Jameis Winston. The signing of Russell Wilson makes me think that the Giants think that Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders. So if I am the Patriots, I would think that Abdul Carter is going to be there at 4 because I think the Giants want Travis Hunter to pair up with Malik Nabers. Also, it gives us the signing with Diggs also gives the Patriots a little bit of flexibility to maybe take a shot at one of those receivers in like the 3rd or 4th, like Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noel.
Sure. So they could get the Iowa State receivers you just listed. We like Trey Harris. No, that's a good take by John. I didn't know where he was going at first.
No, I like it. Could go QB 1-2.
The Giants aren't out on Shedeur Sanders because they brought in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. They
just
know they're
there.
They know they're out on Shedeur Sanders because the Browns could take him at 2. I saw this the other night on NBC Sports Boston that Deion Sanders, there's some guy the Browns hired with a connection to Deion. So, like, the thought process goes, oh, okay, maybe they are more connected to Shedeur. I didn't really think much of it at the time, but that's a good point by John Rhode Island.
I mean, you know who Cleveland's starting quarterback is right now?
Right now, it's Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett. So, maybe there should be a little bit more stock into them, like, desperately needing to take a quarterback there, too.
So, Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2.
And then you kind of wait and see what the Giants do.
Who knows about Jackson Dart at 3? You said it.
This
Keith.
Is my thought. Keith, this is my hot take from weeks ago.
You said it all along. It was quarterbacks are more likely to go in the top three.
Three in the top three. Only one in the top
correct.
Three. Yeah.
And so
I stand by it.
All right, but even if the Giants didn't take Jackson Dart,
you get one or the other, and this all goes back to something we've been saying all along since the draft order became official. If they pass up on Carter or Hunter to take Will Campbell or whoever they think is the left tackle, that hurts. Like, it fills out your roster, I guess, a little bit better, but it feels like a talent like Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter you should take, and then whether it's your next pick or you trade up in the first round or whatever, then that's where you get your left tackle, but you can't pass on Carter or Hunter.
Let me ask you this,
all right?
Because I agree with that. But let's say it does go the way John of Rhode Island laid it out. It goes Cam Ward, 1.
QB.
Shedeur Sanders, 2. Travis Hunter, 3. Abdul Carter's there at 4. We thought he could be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He is hurt.
He's and a coming foot back, thing going on.
Coming back from an injury.
But he's in the back of the tank. He tweeted out that photo of him in the back of the tank.
So maybe you already answered this, but there's no concern on your level that like the guy might be sliding and have injury red flags.
No, there is a little. I think there has to be a little concern. Like, anytime you're leading up to the draft, you're like, no, don't worry about it. Like, I'm going to be a little worried about
it. Rosenhaus came out and was like, he's fine.
So Rosenhaus, remember when Willis McGahee, this is going back a few years, when Willis McGahee in the national championship game got like his knee blown to smithereens.
Yes.
Like, disgusting.
It was gross.
It was like helmet on knee. You saw it like snap in three spots. And you're like, and I remember Drew Rosenhaus, Wise, like the best agent. He was with McGahee, and he was swearing up and down that he'd be a first-round pick, swearing up and down that he was going to be a great player, swearing up and down that he was going to return. And all those things happened.
He was
a first-round pick. He ended up being pretty good.
I was going to say, was he good like right away, though?
That I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't
like
know
he had a career.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
It wasn't like, oh, he was smoked. And this was also 20 years ago when we're talking about ACL injuries.
Correct.
And that's not even what we're talking about with Abdul Carter. I'm just saying like injuries and agents talking.
McGahee right away. 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns as a rookie. So good call.
And I remember being shocked that he even went in the first round. But anyway, so maybe the agent, obviously he's going to be hyping up his guy, but there's also examples of where maybe they're right. No, I would still take him. I would look at it as he could still be the best player in the draft. The only players that got drafted ahead of him are QBs by teams without QBs, and then Travis Hunter, who we love. So if you're sitting there at 4 and you get Abdul Carter, he is at worst the second best player in the draft. If you're not doing positions, right, like a QB needs.
And you prefer Hunter to Carter.
I would rather have Travis Hunter, but I would take Carter.
It would make sense based on that. Two teams took a quarterback, and then the third team took what you consider the best player in the draft.
You got the fourth pick. That's not bad.
Ryan's in Manchester. Hello, Ryan.
So there's no way they're taking Abdul Carter because it would be malpractice on roster building. You can't sink that much money into a defensive line after you're paying Barmore and Milton. So it is kind of like you're not drafting for need, but you need offense, and Abdul Carter can help you,
Hang on. Barmore and Milton Stilt don't play the same position as Abdul Carter.
Yeah, Carter's going to sack the quarterback.
It's D-line, and they've already invested how much money in the defense this year. The Stephon Diggs thing is great, but they need to invest in – yeah, well, this is what I'm going to ask you. Steph Diggs is top 2 in contested catch rate the last 3 years. I have another point after this. You want to guess who number 1 was?
Oh, wait. Number 1 in contested catch rate.
Keenan Allen.
Yep.
Wow, great guess.
Oh!
So those AJ Brown.
Oh. I was like, Keenan Allen.
My point is – Vrabel is building what he built in Tennessee is why they're taking Aston Jeanty. They're not taking Abdul Carter. It's either going to be Hunter as a wide receiver. It's Aston Jeanty as a running back. Now, think about that lineup, boys. I'm kind of excited about it. You line up Steph Diggs on the outside. You got Aston Jeanty in the backfield. Maybe we're cooking a little bit here.
Ryan,
excited for the year.
Ryan, can I ask you, are you the guy who's tweeting at me a bunch about this is how Vrabel built it in Tennessee? Is that you on Twitter?
I don't do Twitter. I'm the guy that compared Wick Rospeck to Billy Madison.
Beautiful. Well, that's good. So, what a ride that was.
The take you might know me from the Billy Madison.
I'm most identifiable from Wick and Billy Madison. Got it.
People remember me from my Wick Rosebeck.
No, so there's a guy who tweets me a very similar thing over and over again. He did it a bunch yesterday.
Well, it's funny. He kind of swerved me a little bit because I thought he was you can't draft Carter because you have to draft a lineman.
He definitely swerved
us. He swerved me there. So then he ends up landing on Aston Jeanty, which, okay. I think I would still take Campbell over Jeanty. I love Jeanty, the prospect, and I would be excited about that. But the
idea that Vrabel's going to build it like he built Tennessee. And again, Vrabel
inherited Henry
in his third year and didn't know what he had in Henry until like December of his first year with him. But
he started Deion Lewis.
Ultimately, he figured out the value of Derrick Henry. And if he's going to try to build it the way he built it in Tennessee, maybe. That's not a bad theory.
You know who led the league in contested catch rate?
Keenan Allen.
Ah! Yeah. No. Yeah, it was. It was A.J. Brown.
I was going for the correct ding.
I thought his whole point was...
I was so confused.
His whole point was that Diggs doesn't get separation anymore because he was making contested catches. Like, I don't view contested catch...
You don't love that stat.
Well, yeah, it doesn't paint a full picture. Like,
I'm also surprised by that. I feel like when you just think of Steph Diggs, it's like he's shifty, he gets open.
I'm very surprised at that.
Like, he's like Randy Moss and people?
Right.
I guess. He's got great hands, but I don't really consider him that kind of... player, but
me neither.
Yeah, that call took several turns. And he's not even the guy on Twitter that's hassling you. So
it's like the Severance finale.
I
really need to re-listen to that call. Maybe do that
clip du jour,
before
perhaps.
The show's over. 617-779-7937. So have I missed any updates on Tristan Cassis? I saw this yesterday, and I'm wondering if part of the reason they're waiting on their roster is based to Cassis. Ian Brown yesterday said it's noteworthy Cassis is out of the lineup today. Which was yesterday. He tried to barehand a bad hop grounder last night. Couldn't tell how much of his hand it got, but the ball went into right field. Brown then said, I'm told x-rays were negative, but he was going to follow up, and then I never saw a follow-up. And I was checking from the beat writers today, or this morning, rather. I don't think I've missed anything on that, but maybe there's a positive update.
Well, yeah.
Is part of the way Marcelo Meyer could stick around, and part of the reason they haven't announced their roster yet... Because they don't know if Casas is healthy.
Well, it's funny. Yesterday we were doing over-unders for player props on the Red Sox, or 2 days ago, and the only guy we seemed to take the under on was Casas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were like, we can't go over on everybody. Right. We're going to win 100 games. So like we're excited about the season, but just kind of an unknown, and you just wonder if he's going to be a guy that has different injuries here and there kind of pop up.
Okay, Nick, say what you just told me in my ear on the air.
Apparently, Alex Speer said that Casas, Willy Abreu, and Roby Gonzalez all expected to be good to go for opening day.
Okay, good.
Oh.
So.
And that's apparently per Cora.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, so that's from Cora. Okay,
all right,
that makes me feel a lot better. Okay. So, good. Those guys should be good to go. But already, it's like the guy didn't get out of spring, and he's dinged up and missing games and getting x-rays.
I mean, this goes back to... Will Fleming on with Hart and Fitzy and Johnson a couple weeks ago when they were just asking him about the roster and everything else. And he said Casas and Yoshida will be on the team this year, but not next year. Now, I still wonder how long Yoshida will be on the team this year, but the bigger statement was Tristan Casas won't be on the team next year. He's under team control for a while. I know they've tried getting him a contract extension. That didn't really work out. But as far as like arbitration and stuff, like they have him under team control for a long time. And yet they might just be like, we're moving on. And that's why everyone's sort of looking at Vlad Guerrero Jr. as next year's starting first baseman.
So you're right. When I was talking about Meyer before, the more logical guy, I already forgot Yoshida's even here.
Yeah. Because
he's starting on the IL and going to AAA with his fake injury because they don't want him on the roster. But that's how they would piece it together.
Although I don't know where you put him, though. Like, if he can't play the field yet, Devers can't play the field either.
Maybe the Devers at first base people get their wish.
No, I don't think that's as easy a transition as people think.
Well,
Casas isn't that great at first base.
Kyle Schwarber proved that. That's
right.
True. Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber, standing ovation. Yeah, I mean, routine play.
Honestly, I did love that. I know everybody loved that, but that's one of those things you would think I would hate on, but I love that.
No, it's good stuff. But then it's also like, yeah, you can't just be like, yeah, you can play first base. It's like, they can't all just pick up first base.
No, you're right. Devers is a DH. We also got an update from Cora about the closer. He said, while Chapman is the closer heading into the season, Cora's leaving wiggle room for leverage.
Mm.
Ian Brown then wrote, for example, if Corey Seager leads off the eighth inning on Thursday, don't be surprised if Chapman takes the ball in the eighth and someone else gets the ninth. So it's like, oh, so he's not the closer.
They don't
have a closer. It's closer by committee.
So
no one wants to call it that,
no. But
that is a closer by committee approach.
I don't like this. Who's the one that came up with the thing before, too? They're like, well, sometimes the most important outs aren't in the ninth or whatever.
Oh, probably Bill James. I don't know.
Was it Bill James?
Yeah,
probably. So, like, the stats have really gone into how some teams view, like, the closer and everything else. Not everybody. But I don't like that. I don't. You know, I feel like sometimes there's also a difference. Hey, maybe this is a day where it's going to be a six-out save or a four-out save or a five-out save. That I can understand.
I'm way more okay with that than, come in the eighth, get your three outs, and we'll figure out the ninth. I'm way more okay with you're going to get four or five outs today.
Yeah, and then, like, here comes Brennan Bernardino to get the final three outs, and then you lose the game, and you're like, what happened? And you're like, we got the eighth. We got through the eighth. I like the closer, and maybe this is me being a bit old school, but, you know, Keith Foulke would pitch – the ninth. Or, I mean, in the World Series, it felt like he pitched the eighth and the ninth. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He closed it. It wasn't like, who's up? Should I warm up now in the seventh based on where the lineup is? Or do I just get the final three outs? That, I think, is there's less kind of headaches. Look, when it comes to that.
It's proof they don't have a closer, which we already kind of felt. But I think that's Cora's way of letting you know. Like, guys, I said Chapman's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
But we don't really have a guy. So if it's Seager for a big out in the eighth inning, and like you said, if it's bases loaded, two outs in the eighth inning, and Seager's stepping up, well, then just, sure, bring in Chapman. I'm fine with that. Get a four-out save. But if it's like Seager's leading off the eighth and the bases are empty, save him for the ninth.
Yeah.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. One other thing that caught my eye on the Red Sox today. ESPN, they have apparently 28 MLB writers.
It's too much. So it's like, we don't have one for every team, but close. It's like, either go all in and have one for every team or don't.
They polled their 28 writers, analysts, and editors. I'm sorry, they're not all writers.
Oh, gotcha.
To predict what will happen in baseball this year. I think the Jones and Keefe program are going to do something very similar tomorrow on opening day.
Opening day?
ESPN jumped us by a day.
Should we get some Cracker Jacks or something in here? Hot dogs?
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Lobster bisque and a bread bowl, which they're going to have at Fenway next week.
The Cowboy Up Burger.
Yeah.
Oh, hey,
yeah,
all that good stuff. Yeah. So out of the 28 votes, how many do you think pick the Red Sox to win the AL East?
Out of 28, I think it should be like 15.
Okay. So you're actually higher than that. 13, which I thought was a healthy number. That is the most in the division. The Orioles got 10. The Yankees only got 3.
People are down on the Yankees, which they should be. Vegas isn't, though. Vegas still has them as the favorite, but everybody else that's looking at it is like, why would it be them?
Toronto and Tampa each got a vote. Okay, the AL champion, Keith. Again, 28 voters. How many picked the Red Sox to win the American League pennant?
10.
10 is exactly right.
Oh!
That's the most in the American League.
That's pretty amazing.
More than the Orioles at 7, the Rangers at 7. The Mariners got 2, the Tigers and Yankees each got 1. Buster only wrote, Boston, had 3 major needs going into last offseason. A couple of frontline pitchers.
Got it.
An established right-handed hitter.
Got it.
The Red Sox went on to land Crochet and Buehler and Alex Bregman. Their rotation is better. Their defense is better. Their lineup should be more balanced. He says at the same time, they're also graduating 3 high-end prospects to the big leagues in Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer, and Roman Anthony. This could be a dynamic team against a mediocre AL landscape, making the Red Sox stand out. Again, that's Buster Olney, ESPN.
So I think a lot of it does have to do with just the competition around them. Like, we did our tiers yesterday, and you're looking at the American League, and there are certain teams that you're like, yeah, that team's probably good, like the Royals and the Astros and the Orioles and maybe the Yankees, but are you really going to put them definitely above the Red Sox? Like, when you break it down that way, like, man, these other teams that were good kind of had some major losses, and then the Red Sox did improve in all these different areas. They should be better, at least on paper, in every aspect, and maybe relief pitching, because you know, might be a wash or slight advantage to last year. We'll see how it goes. But you remember, Jansen had his ups and downs. Martin was kind of in and out of the lineup there, or in and out of the bullpen. So this has a chance to be at least as good. The starters are definitely projected to be better. The defense is better. The lineup top to bottom is better. So yeah, why not? Why can't they win the American League?
So 13 out of 28. Why not us?
Why not us?
13 out of 28, almost half, picked the Red Sox to win the division. 10 out of 28 picked them to win the pennant. How many picked them to win the World Series, Keith?
That'd be 0.
1.
Oh,
you
who's
got,
that?
Good question. I don't know. You got 20 of the voters for the Dodgers, 3 for the Phillies, 2 for the Braves, 1 each for the Red Sox, Rangers, and Mariners.
Rangers and Mariners got a World Series win on there. Now, I like going non-chalk, but at the same time, how do you not pick the Dodgers?
As of right now, the Dodgers aren't going to win. I don't want to spoil anything for tomorrow, but I will not be picking the Dodgers.
Yeah, I know.
How about some awards? Red Sox got no votes for AL MVP. I don't know if that surprises you, but they got none for AL MVP.
How many deep did they go? Just because last year, Jaren Duran did get MVP votes.
7 or 8. Yeah, okay. So Duran is who I was looking for. Hang on, I can get you that.
No, that's
exact
fine.
Number.
I don't think they have anybody that would jump out to you for MVP.
AL MVP. Witt got 14 votes. Judge, 3. Henderson, 3. Vladdy, 3. I'm sorry, I misread this. Bregman got 2.
2 MVP votes for Alex Bregman.
Good job getting me to double check that,
yeah,
Keith.
Good.
Bregman got 2. Alvarez 1, Rooker 1, Julio Rodriguez 1.
It makes sense. If that many people are having them win the division and winning the American League, you'd think somebody would maybe factor into the MVP.
My mistake.
Okay.
Two for Alex Bregman.
That'd be something.
For the Cy Young, how many votes do you think Crochet got out of 28?
Oh, out of 28, I would say...
Seven!
Well, I'd say 14.
Nick wins this one. Castig wins this one. Nine was the number. Scooble got 12. Crochet was second, though.
Yeah.
Ahead of Cole Reagans, Logan Gilbert, and Max Fried.
All right.
AL Rookie of the Year, you also got votes for Christian Campbell, 5 out of the 28, not the favorite, and Roman Anthony, 2
who is the favorite
out of the 28.
In the American League.
Notice how I avoided that because I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Jackson Jobe? Jobe.
Tigers? Yeah. Or was he with?
How do you say his name?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's Jobe.
Jobe Tigers?
Yeah, okay. So he got the most votes in the American League. So there you go.
Congratulations.
ESPN and their bloggers.
All their
writers and editors and everybody else, very high on the Red Sox.
I think they kind of should be. Right? Because look at
so you led the Dodgers to World Series.
No. We're just talking about the American League right now. If you look at the American League, I have a hard time giving like a full effort that Seattle's going to win it. Like, if that's your take, great. But it's just that every team has plenty of issues. There's no Dodgers in or even Phillies in the American League.
No, for sure not. So how you feeling about the Red Sox? We'll mix that in with all your Stephon Diggs thoughts. 617-779-7937. At 11:45, we'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket. Final Four starts tomorrow.
Wow.
Still have Elite Eight matchups up at Jones and Keefe. Vote on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Patriots signed Stephon Diggs to 3 years, quote unquote, $69
million. Nice.
Quote unquote, $26 million guaranteed. We are fans of the signing, but
yes.
I think the Patriots are trying to trump up the dollars. Which
doesn't
I'm
matter,
sure,
Jones. They got him.
I'm sure we'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen,
are not quite what we thought. No, but I am happy they got him.
Yeah.
And I have questions about the signing, no doubt. But in general, I'm much happier with the receiver room today than I was yesterday.
Well, it's fair to have questions about it and also still like it. I mean, their top choice at wide receiver was Chris Godwin. That was very clear. We heard that they were going to – Schefter said they would have given him $30 million a year. So they wanted Godwin more. So it's okay as a fan if you're like, hey, I wish they were in on DK Metcalf or I wish they were in on Cooper Kupp. But then also say, Steph Diggs is so much better than everybody that they have on the current roster, even coming off a knee injury in his 30s, that – I'm happy with that. I'm not worried about the money because if they didn't give him $26 million guaranteed, there's no way of knowing if they would have given anybody that money. They might have just stuck in their pocket.
Yeah, so I'm happier with the receiver room. I imagine Drake May is happier with the receiver room,
yeah,
which I think is important. So we'll get back into that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can jump in all day long. We'll also update the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket coming your way. At 11:45, we have two matchups for you. Baseball region, it is the Braves and the Retro Braves and the Red Sox. In the basketball region, the Celtics and the Raptors, as modeled by Marcus Camby today.
Yeah, oh, it looks great. So he is their first draft pick.
You can vote. I think he was. At Jones and Keefe, and we'll be on to the Final Four tomorrow. In the meantime, it's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We got some Would You Rathers. What do we have today, Billy?
All right, first one, would you rather Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers next season?
Russell Wilson.
This is a tough one.
To me, it's Russell Wilson.
Can you abstain?
You have to take one. You have to pick one. That's how you play the game. So Aaron Rodgers was just, I know the stats ended up looking okay. So if you only looked at the stats, you'd be like, well, maybe he's got something left. It was just such a failure with the Jets. Whereas Russell Wilson, not bad. Not bad with Pittsburgh.
Not good, though.
Not too bad, though. But they're both like, nobody that you'd want to have a conversation with.
Well, this
like,
is
there
why,
is a little bit of that, like off the field stuff with both of them, where you just like roll your eyes.
So my instinct is I don't want Rodgers because he's such an a-hole.
Yeah,
but then like
Wilson's is kind of obnoxious.
Right. Well, Wilson's teammates hate him too. So
Mr. Unlimited.
I kind of think that's a wash.
That is.
And so who do I feel I have a better chance of getting a big year out of or like making a run?
I think Wilson's. Fine.
I think Rodgers.
Okay.
And trust me, I don't love either one. So, but you got to pick.
I mean,
now.
Wilson's
Broncos country.
Yeah,
let's ride.
Let's ride.
No doubt. I don't think he's gonna have a good year because he's with the Giants.
Correct.
Like that. I don't know who would have a good year with the Giants. So, but I'm saying like in a vacuum, or if like they both played on the same team, who would be a little bit better? Who would you get more? I think
I mean, the Steelers.
I think Wilson just told you
they're done with Wilson.
No, I know.
And so.
But the Jets just told you they're done with Rodgers.
Okay, but the Steelers were a good team. The Jets weren't.
Yeah. Oh, they were okay. I mean, they were average.
The Jets?
No, the Steelers.
Well, the Steelers, I'm sorry. Like, good, meaning good they're a playoff. Yeah, they're a playoff team. Yeah, that's what I meant. So I would rather.
I mean, is Aaron Rodgers going to convince you to hire an offensive coordinator and like five of his former teammates again?
Well, my answer is I don't know, but yeah. I honestly think that's done. Like, I think even he knows at this point in time, he got to change the whole Jets organization. It didn't work.
No, it did
not. So maybe they'll toss him Lazard. Like, maybe you'll get like a player like that.
You can have Jordy Nelson. They'll throw and you can have Randall Cobb.
But they're not gonna upend the whole roster. Right. Not Pittsburgh.
Fair enough.
So anyway,
unlimited. You gotta be unlimited.
I would rather Rodgers than that guy.
Although,
but it's close.
For Wags, you get Ciara.
Yep.
Whereas Aaron Rodgers, no longer with Shailene Woodley.
No.
Eating clay. They would eat clay.
No, I know.
I don't know if there's like a lot of nutrients in clay.
She also really believed in the sun on her private parts.
Hell yeah.
That was something that she believed in.
Why not?
What, you don't believe in that?
Burning everything.
I'm ashamed to even get a light in my home on my private parts. Never mind out in the sun.
You're also supposed to, when it's a full moon, get out there a little private parts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't tried that.
You don't rip your clothes, you turn into a werewolf.
Well, there's that too, Dick.
That's true, yeah.
But next time there's a full moon, go out like on, like if you have just a little outside space, right on it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Up at the monument.
Worth a shot.
All right. What else we got, Billy?
Would you rather the flashy genitals at the sun or the moon? No.
Moon. Moon. Less chance of a burn.
Yeah, moon for sure. Yeah.
Would you rather shut down Jeremy Swayman for the rest of the season or make him play every game?
I would throw him out there every single
Same.
Day.
You're right, like, this is, you give up another snowman, you're wearing it. Yeah. You are out there the rest. You did this to us.
Yeah.
You blame him for everything. So whether it's all his fault or not, you blame him for it.
Part of it's out of spite, but part of it's also like, all right, like,
we're paying you.
Well, we're paying you, and you're going to play these games, and maybe like, even though you suck and you can't stop anything, build up some stamina for next year where you can actually play 50 games, hopefully at a higher level. Like, he is out there every single game.
Same. 10 games left. If you shut him down, you're completely letting them off the hook. And there obviously needs to be a reset to start next year and be like, hey, guys, put this season behind you because it's been such a disaster specifically for him. But no, I'm making him play every game.
There's only one back-to-back. He can play them both.
Play them both.
Let me add this too, Keith. Yep. Like, you want as high of a draft pick as possible,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Of course.
Put the snowman guy back out there.
Swayman.
Yeah.
Your best chance to lose games right now is Swayman.
Your best chance to get a higher draft pick, Swayman.
All his teammates seemingly hate him, so they're not going to play for him, right?
Yeah.
So, like, well, at least with Corpusalo, they might have a little bit more pride. They might steal a win or two. With Swayman, they're going to lay down and die.
He's at 51 games. I want him as close to 61 as possible.
Play,
like, you're out there, you're playing every night.
That's what you wanted.
Build some stamina, lose some games, better draft pick. Yeah, you're the guy. Mm-hmm. All right, what else?
Would you rather have had Kevin Durant's career or Giannis's career?
All right, so it's Celtics Suns tonight, right? So you got Kevin Durant. So Durant, Giannis. So two guys sort of in the shadow of this generation of LeBron and probably Curry. So it's two titles and one MVP regular season for Durant and two MVPs and one title for Giannis, if I'm looking at that correctly.
That is yes, two MVPs, one title for Giannis. He was a finals MVP.
Both guys annoy me.
Was Durant a finals MVP?
Yes, Durant was a finals MVP.
Okay.
Actually, both times, I think.
Yeah. No, you're right. Two-time finals MVP.
Because he blocked Curry. Remember, Curry never got it. It was Iguodala, then it was Durant, then finally Curry. And Giannis obviously was finals MVP when he won it. They're both, I used to like Giannis. I give credit to Andy Hart. He was the first one on it. Like, he couldn't stand Giannis. I'm like, everybody likes Giannis. He's like, he couldn't stand him.
Well, we know why Hart doesn't like him.
Greeks. Yeah. He's got a Greek bias.
Exactly.
So
it's pro America.
So, okay. But that whole spiel Giannis had a couple years ago where he's like, there's no such thing as failure. It's like, dude, you were the number one seed, lost. That's a failure.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
when you lose to the 8 seed in the NBA, that's a failure.
That is a definition of a failure. Yeah. But then Durant, I just can't stand Durant's whole thing either. I would say Giannis because Durant won more titles, but he went to a team that had already won a title with Clay and with Curry and Draymond and just the way he sort of bounced around teams, which is his right to do. Giannis has just sort of been there the whole time. Now, he should probably have won more than he did, but at least he won it as the unquestioned guy. So I would say Giannis over Durant.
Giannis's championship, obviously, you know, could be a big deal breaker, and Durant rode coattails with the Warriors. I don't know. Like, think of all the guys that Durant has played with, and like, think what you want of Kyrie, but like Curry and Westbrook, and like, think of some of the guys he's gotten to play with.
Harden,
the high level championship teams. He's like a 4-time scoring champion, I think.
Durant is
4-time scoring champ. He is a 2-time finals MVP. People are always going to hold him teaming up against Golden State.
Yeah.
But the way the question's worded, if I'm not mistaken, is whose career would I rather have?
Yeah. Than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I would disagree with Wiggy on that. Yeah. I would rather have the career of Kevin Durant. Like, now I'm the player and I get to play it out.
Yeah.
I'd rather be him. He was rookie of the year right when he came in. Yeah. He's a 2-time finals MVP. He's a 2-time MVP. He's won multiple championships. He's bounced around to a bunch of different teams. He's led pretty much all of them in scoring. He's led the NBA in scoring 4 times. I'd rather Durant. Plus, you factor in, I know we probably shouldn't care about this a ton. It's really more about USA always wins it.
Yeah.
You got the high-level international play versus
He's a good
you know, Giannis player. As well. Yep. So I'd rather have his career.
He is 6 years older. So there's also, you know, maybe Giannis kind of catches up on some of those like counting numbers, like all NBAs, which he'll be first team again, or like all-star appearances and things like that. I would still lean.
Well, Giannis, way better defensive player.
Yeah, I'd lean
way,
Giannis.
Way more legit championship. So like, if you're asking me who's the better player, I might go Giannis, but whose career would I rather have?
Okay.
I'd rather be a scoring champ.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Do you think either one ever win a title again?
Well, definitely not Durant. Will Giannis ever win again? Not as the lead guy.
Yeah.
So like, if Durant, I'm sorry, Giannis went somewhere and was the 2 to SGA's 1 or something like that. Yeah.
Well, the crazy thing, Durant's still good. Like, he's 36 years old. His teams have stunk.
Yeah, he's not winning, though.
But what if he goes to the right spot? What if he...
Okay, but then what... I mean, is he Karl Malone trying... We were talking about this before the show.
No, but I don't think he is
Karl Malone trying to hang on.
No, but I don't think he is Karl Malone. He's going to be all NBA this year. He's averaging 27 points a game and 6 rebounds.
Okay.
Not first team. I don't think he'll be first team all NBA.
But he sneaks on to a third team?
I think he does.
But how much credit do I give Durant if he's like the 4th best player on a title team? Do I give him that one?
Well, no, but I'm not saying credit. I'm just like, does he win another title? Or have we seen his last...
I'm still going to say no, but... Yeah, I could see Giannis being a 2 on a championship team. I'm going to say no to Durant.
All right.
Okay, finally, would you rather eat gummy bears or bear meat?
What about, like, gummy bears? I would totally eat gummy bears if they fell out of the sky.
This is topical because we had the Kiefer Madness yesterday where they had the meat shower down in Kentucky like 100 years ago. They still celebrate it every year.
If somehow you happen to miss that Odyssey app.
She may have even been hit by a chunk of the mystery meat.
I've never had bear meat.
No, me
Sorry
either.
If I'm a little prudish,
so
but I've never had bear
you're
meat.
From New Hampshire. I'm from Vermont. We're 0 for 2 on bear meat. That's kind of
weird.
That's kind of embarrassing for the whole state.
That's the upset of the day. No bear meat for either one
Not
of us.
Not good.
I do like bears. I like gummy bears. I have a good craving for gummy bears every once in a while. So I'll say I don't eat them a ton, but every once in a while, like maybe at the movies or something, I'm like, I'm going to just eat a pound of these gummy bears. Give me gummy bears.
Yeah, so does the amount matter at all? Like, would I rather
have to gorge yourself.
A handful of gummy bears versus bear meat? Maybe that would swing my opinion.
How's the bear meat prepared?
Great question.
Sometime between 11 and 12. It rained meat for a period of about 2 minutes.
Great question.
Medium rare?
Pulled?
But I mean, it's like, I know, but I mean, like, is it like a bear meat steak?
Bear steak.
Like a bear meat burger?
Bear burger.
Like a bear burger?
Yeah. In a stew?
Bear nuggets.
Bear nuggets.
Bear club. Bear dino nuggets.
Yeah.
If it's bear nuggets.
Bear meat, shaped like dinos.
Why is it shaped like a dinosaur?
Don't ask.
I don't know.
Pulled bear. How about pulled bear?
Can I dip it in like a sauce?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. My answer, by the way, regardless, is bear meat. I was saying the one thing.
Your answer is bear meat?
Yeah. What might swing it is like I only have to eat like 3 gummy bears, but I'd like to try bear meat. I don't know how I've gone 41 years on this planet without eating it.
I'd try it, but they seem like.
I think it's gamey.
Yeah, it's not an animal I think I would
want
to
eat. When in doubt, say, I think it's gamey.
Yeah,
it's either gamey or like
gamey.
Chicken. There's no in-between referring to other kinds of meat.
I think it's gamey meat. But I think, don't they also have like a terrible diet? So like they're eating dead stuff.
Well, they eat a lot
they're eating
of
garbage.
Salmon.
Picnic baskets.
Well, that's true.
Picnic baskets, salmon.
Dude, salmon's great for you.
So much honey.
If they're just eating salmon and honey, they're probably doing all right.
Good for the coat.
Not to bring everybody down.
But they'll like break into a dumpster and like eat the whole dumpster. That can't taste good.
You know what? Not to be a downer. You know what polar bears sometimes will eat?
Humans?
Other polar bears.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Like they're young?
Well, they have to.
Drink Coke.
If they're up against it. Yeah, they have a Coke, but then they get hungry, Bill. And so,
but you're saying in a survival situation.
Yeah, if there's no food for them, and sadly in the Arctic there sometimes isn't, and they'll just eat each other.
The 4 of us are in a survival situation.
Like yellow jackets.
Throw in Terp. The 5 of us are in a survival situation. We're probably eating somebody.
Gonna eat one person. Or... Yeah. Real team move, eat a little bit of everybody. Just a little bit.
The rescue team comes where all five of us are missing a leg.
Just a little bit. Everybody. It wasn't fair for one guy to go. Yeah, it's a little bit.
I mean, I got a lot of meat. It's a lot of fatty meat, but I got a lot of meat.
Why are all five of you missing one ass cheek?
I have a very good mobbling going on.
We ate. We heard about it. We all ate one of our ass cheeks.
Just a little bit.
We got two. Okay, so my answer was bear meat. You went.
I went gummy bears. Oh, okay. Yeah, I ended up leaning on gummy bears.
Okay. Yeah. That's Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones.
An image of Yogi Bear representing Yellowstone. We're talking about a sleeping Godzilla.
All right. Okay.
As Yogi Bear said, some you win, some you lose, some get rained out.
Thanks.
Very relevant.
Perfect.
So that's a would you
probably
rather.
An exploded animal from an exploded planet that just happened to rain down in this area.
Okay.
Investigators determined it was nothing more than a man in a bear suit.
Let's update the Jones and Keefe bracket next.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're almost to the final four in the Jones and Keefe bracket. Two teams have punched their tickets. Two more. We'll punch their ticket by about this time tomorrow.
Holy smokes.
So you can vote in the March Madness uniform bracket at Jones and Keefe. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter, again, at Jones and Keefe. We have final results from yesterday. Any thoughts before I give those, Keefe?
Yeah, I feel like some of our fears have come true, but then again, there was a bit of a shocking development as well along the way, right?
Yeah, we had the Bruins knocked out of the hockey region going into the Elite Eight. We do have the Patriots advancing to the Final Four.
So that I have no problem with. I think of all the local teams, and we've brought this up a lot, there was a local representation in each region, and the one that is the most deserving of advancing as far as it has is the old Pat Patriots. The red uniforms, the white helmet, Pat Patriot snapping the rock. That's just an absolute beauty.
So Pat Patriot were the 2 seed over the number 1 seeded Powder Blues San Diego Superchargers. They won the vote 66-34. I would say now that Pat Patriot and that uniform is into the Final Four, they have a good chance at winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're probably the odds-on favorite, I would
imagine.
Pat Patriot's going to win it?
They're probably the odds-on favorite.
Which
although,
is kind of hilarious that they don't even use that uniform really that much.
It's kind of, well, not only that, they also weren't even the 1 seed.
No.
But okay, that's a 2 seed getting out in the football region. In the hockey region, we have a 1 seed.
Yeah,
taking down a 2, the Hartford Whalers 55% to 45% for the 90s Mighty Ducks.
I like the 90s Mighty Ducks.
We know you do.
I voted for the 90s Mighty Ducks. But
there's crossed hockey sticks and a duck bill mask and everything else. Yeah,
it's like it's the Jason Voorhees mask, but in the shape of a duck. Like a duck could wear it and cover his bill with the mask. It's great. And he looks kind of angry, too. They got the crossed sticks.
We
know it's like an eggplant purple that they're rocking as well.
Not a burnt purple.
What?
It's good. It's a good-looking uniform. Whalers, though, I mean, it's solid. It's a good-looking green. We landed on Kelly green, I think.
Broccoli green.
Broccoli green.
Yeah.
It's got the H and the W and a little whale's tail.
Pretty nice.
I'm not mad at that.
So those two are into the Final Four. Again, Pat Patriot and the Pats Reds.
Yeah.
In the football region, the Hartford Whalers are through. In the hockey region, we have two matchups for you today. In the baseball region, a number 5 seed, the Red Sox, traditional homes, as modeled by Eric Gagne?
Yeah.
Versus the Braves. They're retro blues with the lowercase a. Who is that? Is that Spencer Strider?
Yeah, Spencer Strider.
It looks like Spencer Strider.
Okay, so that's a matchup right now. I would say it looks like the Red Sox, based on early voting, and we never tell you how to vote.
So just ask yourself
this. Based on early voting, the Red Sox look like they're going to punch through to the Final Four.
Ew.
Look, it's classic. Right? The font is iconic.
Uh-huh.
The hat is not a bad hat. That's the best baseball uniform of all time. Just the Red Sox.
That's what the people are saying. Not sure us people would agree, but that's what the people are saying.
Come on, folks.
So that's
a little peek behind the curtain. We specifically with somebody that people should hate, Eric Gagne.
Yeah,
try and sway
Billy. Billy is trying to sway the vote.
Don't acknowledge that we're trying to sway the vote. That's not what we're trying to do whatsoever.
I like the uniform. I feel like it is a Sweet 16 type of uniform. I don't think it is a Final Four
chance to win the whole thing. They're happy with themselves. They're crying about their seniors.
Yeah, right. Screaming about the refs. That kind of season.
Yes.
Yeah, because baseball is the weakest of all the regions. Baseball, for whatever reason, has the worst uniforms. I don't know if it's because I don't know. I don't know what to.
Because it's a stuffy, traditional old sport, and they never really interject anything new.
The Red Sox never really changed the uniforms. I mean, the Yankees have never really changed the uniforms.
There's something to be said for a classic uniform, but why is the region overall down? Because it's a stuffy sport.
Yeah.
And then in the NBA, the number 4-seeded Celtics in their greens.
Also, folks.
Versus the number 3-seeded Raptors, as modeled by Marcus Camby. That might be helping things, because right now, Keith, it would not be an upset. Right? It is neck and neck in the basketball region.
Every vote counts out there. If you're thinking, hey, my vote doesn't count, maybe you're defeated.
Yeah.
It does vote, or it does count.
It does count.
Please vote.
And if you're like Nick, please vote carefully and don't vote for the incorrect team.
That happens.
And almost throw the whole thing out of whack. Yeah. So those are up at Jones and Keith.
But that's the other thing.
You can vote on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram.
In the great history of the NBA, you're telling me with a straight face that a green jersey with white block letters saying Celtics is the best uniform. I love it. It's my favorite team. I love it. I own a Paul Pierce like that, a D Brown back in the day like that.
But it is not a favorite team bracket. It is a favorite
uniform.
It's not a
favorite team.
Best uniform bracket. Yeah.
It's the best uniform?
Yeah.
It also hasn't changed in 100 years, but
no.
Maybe that's why. Maybe because people think it's the best.
And it's a little dino dribbling a basketball on
he's
there.
He's dribbling a basketball. He's wearing a uniform. There's a dinosaur wearing a uniform on the uniform. He even has sneakers. I don't think he needs sneakers, but he does. He's got his head up, not looking at the ball. He's dribbling. He's looking for someone to pass. He's a playmaker, for God's sake. Big, giant velociraptor. I like the purple jersey. Even the font's kind of cool. It looks like it was written by a dinosaur.
If you're watching,
it doesn't look like a dinosaur with claws wrote Raptors.
If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEI, I didn't even mention. So Shaq is modeling the Celtics one. I didn't realize that. So Billy
is jokes. We're trying over here.
Look, Billy and Nick they're trying their hardest to influence the vote, which we would never.
No,
we would never tell you how to vote.
Marcus Camby, fresh off his
the UMass guy.
Yeah. Fresh off a Final Four appearance.
Yeah, look at that.
Modeling that.
I forgot how big Shaq was.
Shaq's a large human.
Yeah, a good sized guy.
I was telling Nick, when he would sit on the bench, they taped 4 seat cushions together and put it on top of the regular seat on the baseline.
He was a Hoss of the week every week.
If we felt so bad for anybody sitting next to him, because NBA benches are tiny to begin with. The athletes are gigantic. And then here's Shaq, whose knees are just east and west.
It's too much.
On top of just like 4 cushions, just taking up so much space.
If we were in a survival situation, Shaq.
He'd have to sacrifice himself.
If we could take him down.
We could eat for 2 years.
You'd have to do it. 617-779-7937. So there's the Jones and Keefe bracket on Twitter and Instagram. You can vote there. Meantime, it is a Wednesday, a Celtics Wednesday, not
pure
just
hoops.
A Would You Rather Wednesday. We have Pure Hoops with Terp next.